In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I want to tell you about a miracle that happened over the radio. My friend Dean, when he was listening to me, I said on the radio that rotary cuffs were being healed, and he immediately started to move his arm, and he was completely healed. Now, why is Father Tom saying that so early? Because we are going to pray for a pastor's wife down south. The pastor asked us to pray for his wife. So I want you to agree with me as we pray for Jean Harrison. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Jean, be completely healed of cancer. By the blood that you spilled, Jesus, on the cross, everything the devil wrote against Jean has been canceled by the cross and blood of Jesus Christ. Jean, be healed in the name of Jesus. I call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and they are by grace. Jean, be healed now of all cancer. It all shrivels up. It all never to grow again in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood. I give you thanks, Father, for I believe it and receive it in faith in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Today is the feast of John the Baptist's birth. I'm looking at Luke 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Yeah. The 9 months passed, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Remember, she was barren for so many years. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they wanted to call him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so. He shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of your kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would call him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they marveled. They all marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke the praises of God. And fear came on all who dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, "What sort of a child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And Zechariah prayed and prophesied and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him all the days of our life without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, John, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. You shall be called the prophet of Jesus Christ, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Oh, yes. Even as a baby, the prophetic word was coming to Zechariah that Jesus, the one who was going to come before Jesus to prepare his way, was John, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins. John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's John the Baptist, who will be the precursor of Jesus Christ. We remember when Jesus came in John's gospel to be baptized. John the Baptist said, "Oh, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lamb of sacrifice. Behold." And John said, "I should not be baptized. I should not baptize you. You should baptize me." Jesus said, "Let it be this way for now." And then Jesus was baptized by John, not for the remission of sins, but for the anointing. And the Holy Trinity showed up. Jesus, the Spirit as a dove, and the voice of the Father listened to him. The Holy Trinity came. And I tell you, John said that he must decrease, John, and Jesus must increase. Jesus was the one he pointed to. John is the sign that points always to Jesus. And we need to be like John the Baptist, pointing always to Jesus Christ, because he is the Lord. We don't want to point to the church. No. We don't want to point to in season and out of season. No. We don't want to point to miracle workers. No. We want to always point to Jesus Christ. The church's mission is to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Yes, the church's ministry is to proclaim Jesus by word and by sacrament. We're just like John the Baptist, always proclaiming Jesus. People say to me, "You know, Father Tom, I got an email yesterday." She said, "You know, I heard you. I used to be a Catholic, and I heard you speaking in other languages." She said, "I listen to you every day. My word." I'm saying, "Honey, come back. Come back to the Eucharist. Come back. Come back to the Eucharist. You're missing the Eucharist. Come back. Come back. Come back." I'm looking now at Mark 10, verse 17. "And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling beside him and said, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" This is interesting. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone. You know the commandments," Jesus said. "Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud anyone. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him with love, he loved him, and said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and then you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me." Well, this is something too hard for him. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, Jesus did not call everyone to give up all their possessions. Zacchaeus only gave up half his possessions. Jesus knew that the rich young man's heart was in his possessions. So he said, "You know what you need to do? You need to go and sell all your goods and give it to the poor." And the poor man went away sad, grieved, for he had great possessions and his heart was in his possessions. Where is your heart today? Where is your heart today? It's got to be in Jesus. It's got to be in Jesus. Your heart has to be in Jesus. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, "How hard it is to have riches and enter into the kingdom of God." But the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in their riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were astonished saying among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus, looking around about them, said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Jesus is saying that your heart can't be in your bank book, that your heart can't be in your stock records, that your heart can't be in the gold that you bought, that your heart must be with Him. Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, there is no man that hath left his house, his brothers and his sisters, his father and his mother, his wife or his children, his lands for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers," notice he doesn't say fathers, "and children and lands with persecutions in the world, which brings eternal life, which comes to eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." So Jesus tells people, your heart has to be in harmony with the heart of Jesus. Your goods, you know, that's why we tithe our money and more than tithe our money. Why? Because we have to show the Lord that our heart is not with our money. You say, "But I haven't got enough to tithe." I can't afford not to tithe, because I know tithing with the Lord will bring about a miracle. I'm more than tithe. I'm much more than tithe. Yesterday, last night, I was watching television, and while I was watching Jeopardy, I think, what happened is I touched my right pocket, and there was $60 in my pocket. I said, "Where did this come from, this $60? I don't remember putting it in my pocket." Leslie said, "The Lord put it in your pocket." I knew the Lord didn't do it, because I just started to question people. "Father Joseph, did you give me money this morning?" He said, "Yes, I gave you $60, and you put it in your pocket." And then he said, "This is from so-and-so, because she says, the Lord has been good to me, and I have the $60 in my pocket, and I will use it not for myself, believe me, but for people that need it, people that need it." And they were on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. Notice he's the shepherd going before them. And they were amazed, and they followed. They were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. But on the third day he shall rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto Jesus, saying, "Master, we would that you should do for us whatever we shall declare." And he said to them, "What would you have me do for you?" And they said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on your right and one on the other when you come into your glory." Jesus said unto them, "You know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "We can." And Jesus said unto them, "You shall indeed drink the cup that I drink, and the baptism that I am baptized with shall be yours. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is given to them for whom it is prepared." Let me tell you this. You see why Jesus had to die? Because here we have the two brothers, James and John, want to be in cahoots with Jesus on his right and on his left. They're still into power struggle. Jesus had to take power struggle on the cross and break it. You know, not for any other reason, but that after with the disciples for 3 years, they still have a power struggle. They want to be first among men. When Jesus Christ has come to be the Savior and the servant of us all. Do you understand what I'm saying? He came as the Savior and the servant of us all. And they want to sit one at his right and one at his left. Jesus needed to die to break not only sin, but the sin of competition, of coming into the kingdom of heaven. I want to be first. I want to be second. No, we leave that to God. The only thing we can give God is our life. We surrender to Jesus. We surrender to his Sacred Heart. We surrender in the power of his blood. And we wait for Jesus to tell us where we're going to sit. It's the Father's will where we will sit. And I'm not asking Jesus, so let me be close to you. I know in heaven we will all be close to Jesus. I don't need to sit on his right or on his left. I need to do the will of God right now. And listen to what happens. Jesus said that the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. They shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And on the third day he shall rise again. Then we continue. And when the 10 heard this, what did they hear? From James and John, sitting at his right and their left, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Their great ones exercise authority upon them. So it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant, and whosoever of you will be the chief shall be the servant of all. Jesus, who is the Lord, was the servant of all. He washed the feet of his disciples. He went before the disciples. He was the one that counted himself nothing, really. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. What happened? But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Because of this, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We must remember that Jesus came as the servant of God. Yes, we have the suffering servant. We have Jesus Christ on the cross, taking our sins, taking your sins, taking my sins on the cross. And even if the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for you? Do you know that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for you? Jesus on the cross was naked. Jesus on the cross looked not like any kind of man. He looked more like an animal. They had stripped him. They had beaten him. They were just spitting at him. They hated him. But yet Jesus did not curse the people. What did he do? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is real. This is real. Jesus is the servant of all. And they came to Jericho. You know where Jericho is? It's one of the lowest parts of the earth, of the whole globe. And as he went out of Jericho, so he's in and out of Jericho, with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. I love this. You know why? Because blind Bartimaeus doesn't have a name. His name means the son of Timaeus. He was blind. They never gave him a name. Peter, the son of Jonas, the son of John. Blind Bartimaeus was only the name of his father. They did never give him a name. Why? Because he was blind. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't know where he was, but he'd get a voice, and he was going to holler that Jesus would have mercy on him. And many charged him and said to him to shut up. But he cried the more and said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, my Lord. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they all called the blind man, saying, Be of good comfort, rise, he is calling you. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What would you have me do for you? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might see. And Jesus said unto him, Go your way, your faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. On Saturday, there was a lady that had arthritis in her legs. And some of the women prayed over her, and I declared healing as they prayed. Then I told her to walk up the aisle. She said, I can't, I'm blind. I said, walk up the aisle. And she walked up the aisle. We prayed again. She walked better. We prayed again. She walked better. Then I prayed over her eyes. It was the Eucharistic day. It was the Feast of Corpus Christi. I said, eyes be open in the name of Jesus. And you want to know what? She began to see. People in the lines were holding up fingers, and she could see their fingers. She could see how many. One had four. One had two. One had three. I tell you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still opens the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. This is Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Mary and the cousin of John the Baptist. In the book Heaven is for Real, the little child meets John the Baptist. He says he's a cool man and he's Jesus' cousin. This is a four-year-old person, didn't know any of this kind of stuff, but he met John the Baptist. I tell you, John the Baptist is the person that we need to look at. He said that Jesus must increase and we must decrease. He pointed out Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, he was the precursor of Jesus Christ. His name is John. His name is John. You know what John means? Gift of God. I tell you, we need to be like John the Baptist. We need to be a sign pointing to Jesus Christ. We need to be a sign that says, this is Jesus. I am nothing. This is Jesus. You see, Jesus comes through our ministry, but we don't want people to glorify our ministry. We want people to glorify Jesus. That's what it's all about. John the Baptist didn't glorify his ministry. He glorified Jesus. And remember when he was in jail, he wondered, was Jesus the Messiah? And he sent his disciples to Jesus, and Jesus said, go tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, and the good news is preached to the poor. John the Baptist, pray for us that we would be like you, that we would totally be like you. I want to pray for a couple of more people. I want to pray for Joanna. In the name of Jesus, get her to the place where she needs to go. In the name of Jesus, open a door for her. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, open a door for her. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray for my brother. Take away all the cancer in Anthony and let him come to give his whole life to you. In the name of Jesus. 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 I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. If your heart is with your riches, you have to start tithing. Tithe your money, 10% to the Lord. I cannot afford not to tithe because I have to keep the streams open. I don't want money to get in the way. I want to keep the streams open. That's what I'm all about. We could have kept all the money. And you know what would have happened? It would have all dried up because we didn't give it to the Lord. We didn't give our first 10% to the Lord. It would have all have dried up. You see, this is the way we look at things in faith, not in things in the bank. People say, well, I've got money in the bank. Let me just tell you, use your money before it dries up, because the Lord only knows what's going to happen in this country because we have been unfaithful to God. We have been unfaithful to God. I want to invite people to our School of the Holy Spirit, which will take place in Holy Rosary in Winthrop, and it's from the 20th to the 26th of July. And the telephone number is 617-846-1210. Nobody is there right now, but wait till about 3 o'clock. And if you're interested, you can come for a day or you can come for two. 617-846-1212. I want to also tell people about the Respect Life Walk, which will be at Boston Common on June 29th. And registration is 1:30. The walk begins at 2:30. And it's for Mass Citizens for Life. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.